The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, you're on the Deadline Report with Ben Vigin Investigates. It is currently July the 1st today, and in 4 days, July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, our 5th, or the America's 4th. There is a lot of concern about what July 4th may bring. Now, a lot of it, I think, is actually just situated in, and it's been one of those years, and we're all kind of like, what's going to happen next? You know, we're missing now is the aliens and the frogs. But in saying that, there are things like, you know, after the parade that Donald Trump held for the June 12th in Washington, D.C., which coordinated at the same time with the Israel attack on Iran, there's a lot of concern that basically things are just going to escalate from that. And again, I've turned around and talked to you about the Bilderbergers meeting, which took place in Sweden. And, you know, that involved people like Alex Karp from Palantir that have now not only been embedded in the military, but they are now part of the military. That's just like next level stuff right there. And like that our own media is not making a bigger deal out of this. I'm kind of like, it makes me feel like, you know, we're sort of playing this left-right area, but we're all steadily marching towards the abattoir. But you also, there's, you know, people like Matt Ruge, Secretary of NATO, and a whole bunch of people that are actually very much worth actually paying attention. Even they had the Nestle's guys, who one of the employers just went around and carried an attack. They might have been the same weekend, knocked out a senator and a legislator and did an attempted. And that guy worked for, placed himself as saying he was the CEO of an organization called Red Line, which got linked to the Congo, and basically one of the people that maybe have had got aid cut to them from the USA. But the person that he saw also said no to to further aid to Africa. I think that was the case. But either way, this person's got a very interesting background. He's worked for security firms that have got a very strong presence in the Middle East and with Israel, which kind of reminds me of Yitzhak Amora, who's the guy that actually knocked off Razik Rabin. He worked for a security company and that was involved in immigrants, basically security for immigrants from Russia. So there was actually another case of an embassy guy that got, he worked for the same outfit. And there's another group of guys that I think some of the guys that were the dancing Israelis also worked for the same outfit. And again, they were linked into the shooting on the nightclub. I think it was Plume's nightclub in Florida. So, you know, we've got this recurring theme of these security, you know, bozos that actually end up being sort of the lone gunmen. And it's just, you know, it's very interesting because when you all bring them back, the common denominator is actually Israel. But in the case of Red Lion too, it's kind of like, but he also worked for Pretoria Security. And if you look at Pretoria Security Limited's New Zealand profile, and I'm going to hold back a little bit, but again, there's got some very interesting people involved in it and some of their connections. And it looks a little bit like what I was saying beforehand, where it's like we've got companies like Cobwebs Technology who worked for the New Zealand Police and they worked for immigration here in New Zealand and for ISIS in the States. And they're an Israeli company. And basically the deal with these guys is they've been playing agent provocateur. And again, left and right, this is the thing. Everyone comes to make a mistake, but, oh, yeah, these people are going to do it. It's no. Both of the extremists are working for the same people. This is no different from Mexico when the Rockefeller was basically funding the Trotskyites and the Stalinists as a way of making sure that neither of them actually got domination and, you know, spread their socialism revolution into America, where again the Democrats and the right, you know, they're all like, you know, we're all left like the Democrats, we hate capitalism, but they can't bring themselves to say we actually like, so we might think that socialism is another option. And again, this right option, you know, you get people like Jacinda Ardern, where it's like, you know, she marched herself out to be this progressive liberal person with all these, you know, massive connections to like BlackRock and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And last time I actually heard, the TPPA or the Damehood wasn't really kind of very common in the Politburo. And, you know, you sit and they'll turn around and talk about how she's got links to the International Socialist Organization. But again, what we discover when you look into things like the Worldwide Socialist website was that the ISIO, and she was part of the youth arm of that, was later actually recognized as being a front for the CIA, which was kind of using liberal left-wing, you know, organizations to bring out regime change as they would use right-wing. And this is the thing, you know, people think like, oh, no, they'll only stay on one side of the street. Well, why would you do that? You know, and you're in the business of causing, you know, fuckery, and I say the F-O-O-K-E-R-R, You're not going to just go, oh, we only play one side of the street. If you can use the other side to bring the leverage, tilt left, right, tip right, you're going to turn around and do that. So, you know, these are the things that we're kind of looking at. You know, this wheel onions within onions. And again, just briefly on the Hutchison are doing, like, if you go to my website right now, the Dyslexic Detector for the July Shipping News 45, we've got a piece on there which is 20 points, and it's Jacinda Ardern and 20 questions or less from a non-left wing, right wing myopic. And you know what I'm saying is that the right turn around constantly want to try and paint her as a dirty, dirty, filthy socialist communist, and the left seem to think that she's this progressive liberal princess. But the reality is, when you actually look at the connections that I flush out and my profile, you'll see that Dame Jacinda Ardern is a bought and paid member of the neoliberal corporate elite. And I go into that very detail. I look at things like her connection to the Robin Hood Foundation. And again, the Robin Hood Foundation in New York's links to things like Jeffrey Epstein, Oprah Winfrey. And then, of course, Oprah Winfrey's got these wonderful, interesting, you know, Diddy connections. And Harvey Weinstein, all connected to the Robin Hood Foundation, which is basically the soup kitchen that Jacinda has made out to work for. And it's sort of getting very interesting because, you know, what's happened at the moment is that every time I've talked about gold mining industries in the last few, you know, weeks, like somebody pops up from the gold mining industry in my LinkedIn profile. And you know, sort of obviously the corporates are keeping an eye on me. But recently I just saw this thing of pop up on my feed, and it was like, the New Zealand detective journalism. Oh, I'm the dyslexic detective. Gee, I wonder where. And then it was like, you know, I said to my brand of Jacinda's kindness, guess what they were doing? And actually, when I turn around, it's a pay for wall thing. And I can imagine what's happening is they take stories that I've done, or, you know, from using the images that they've been presenting have come directly from my website. And it's quite funny. But obviously, they mix up the stories. And then it just, you know, because they're working with companies that have got, well, you know, they're not necessarily working, but they are. It's in the interest of those tech companies to spread that stuff out to then, you know, gain, make, oh, people are checked just in discern that they're all left-wing, alt-turn, right-wing conspiracists. And I'm going, well, yeah, that might be the case of this person, but I'm not coming from that particular perspective. So we'll just put that down to a case of imitation is, you know, the highest form of flattery. And it's, you know, we've seen this happen. You know, and I do get frustrated when I see this happening because I put a lot of work in, and it's, you know, increasingly we've seen because of the control of these social media by platforms, they are demonetizing any of the critiques. And again, they initially turned around and did it following Christchurch. Oh, we've got to stop the alt-right, the hate speech. Oh. And then I was saying to people, are you nuts? Because you doing that, you're going to hand it to someone like Judith Collins. And, oh, no, Judith Collins, ho, 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 they all laugh. Well, are we laughing now, boys and girls? Because look who's in charge. And, of course, you know, we had the same situation with Jacinda Ardern launching this Christchurch call. She gets, you know, the wage base provided by Luxon for $700,000 a year. Oh, who was Luxon again? Oh, that's right. He's the guy that Jacinda Ardern hired to figure out why Air New Zealand lost a whole bunch of money when Luxon was the head of Air New Zealand. Are you getting it yet, boys and girls? We'll have a little bit of a break, and I think we will go with Alan Parsons' The Eye in the Sky, because in the next phase we're going to be talking about sort of the whole Palantir issue and some of these attacks that have been, you know, breaking out pre-July 4th, and just some of the concerns that we've got because of, I think, even the most staid people are starting to realise that the chance of some kind of false flag is pretty high. Thank you.
so find another fool like before. Cause I ain't gonna live anymore, believing some of the lies, while all of the signs are deceiving. I am the eye in the sky, looking at you. I can read your mind. I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools. I can cheat you blind, and I don't need to see anymore to know that I can read your mind. 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 I am the eye in the sky, looking at you. I can read your mind. I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools. I can cheat you blind, and I don't need to see anymore to know that I can read your mind.
The Deadline Report with Ben, Virgin Investigates, and I've sort of been talking about this whole left-right wing, you know, issue and the whole issue about false flags, that people sort of think, oh no, well, they've all been driven by the alt-right, well, they've all been driven by left-wing. They're not. They're neither of them are. They're, what they've been done is they've been driven by vested corporate interests. Again, when we saw during the June 12th, there were things taking place in LA and other parts of America that were called riots. But yet, when you actually examine the footage of them, they're like, when you look at, say, the Rodney King, you know, riots of the police brutality, these things are small. And again, we saw the same situation with during the, I think it was the £600 million, whatever, that got stolen from the middle class pension fund. One of the main media magnates were under scrutiny because of their hacking of using basically illicit phone taps. And that should have been the main story. But then there were riots in London and they were like, oh, you know, all these hardcore, you know, radicals. And it turned out, the actual fact, there was like one building burning. And again, they grossly inflated it. But a lot of that traced back to what they call the group called Blackwatch, showing up, I think, G20 meetings, probably around about 2000 and early to about the 2010s, thereabout, give or take. But seeing, next, you know, they'd kind of like infiltrated things like Antifa, or not necessarily. It wasn't that they infiltrated into Antifa, it was they had penetrated into enough cells, so that gave the people another perspective, the idea that somehow these guys were the false actors, and vice versa. Because the thing is, you don't have to infiltrate the whole movement, you just have to make out. Like, for example, again, in the United Kingdom, one group of people, who I think actually were genuine protesters, turn around and attack a bunch of warplanes because they oppose England supporting Israel, and suddenly England has outlawed an entire organisation because of the actions of two people. And that's where we're at. And that's, unfortunately, when we get back to the situation of the false flag in America, and the fear, because the real things we're noticing is a lot of those military units didn't leave DC after the parades, which was, again, one of the things I did actually point out in previous shows, that I said, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. We also didn't have, at that time, Palantir, who's now actually, and not just Palantir, there's other tech firms now that actually have people that have got sworn in members of the military. And so the line between the idea that tech companies and the state are two different, no, they're actually, the reality of the state, the deep state that Julian Assange warned us all about. And then again, we sat back and we watched the right and the left not lift a finger for him. And everyone laughed at the idea of the deep state is, you know, President Donnie dumb donkey, turned that whole notion into a laughing stock. But we now become, I think, more and more people aware that there are these massive corporate interests that really should be feared because they are up to no good in your neighborhood. And these guys, like, you know, like, we also say the big barriers that were going around the White House. Like, I was there again where it's like when they were doing the events of what was happening when Donald Trump got elected on DC. I was in DC for that particular event, and it's a lot of, you know, it took us a lot of effort to get there on time, and you know, it was exhausted, killing me doing it. But I'm glad I did, because what the reality was you had a football field out the front oh, people doing all sorts of crazy left and right and stuff. But and then the journalists around this time, like, painting that picture. Oh, this is what's going on in DC tonight. When you wander around most of DC that night, most of them didn't actually give a damn. I mean, generally speaking, no, it wasn't this huge polarized, all everyone's about to civil war, which is again a theme they keep pushing to the point that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it doesn't matter whether it's a left wing or right wing, they can turn around whoever and say, well, we're doing this to stop the extremists. We're gonna protect the democracy by taking it down. But that's basically what we're going through. And again, today, because it's been announced that they're going to be new harsh laws on, you know, people breaking the rules, you know, it's going to get tough on crime, and it's going to include people against shoplifting because, you know, police won't investigate this anymore. But the reality is that we've also watched massive food monopolies, actually the point where it's making hard for people, and so people are going to get desperate. So we're going back to the days of Australia where we're putting people in jail for the crimes of being hungry. Now, I'll grant you, there's been an element of letting people get away with stuff for ages, like, but it's mostly, you know, in the context of, you know, right now as we speak, there's some guy, extremely vile person, done some incredibly heinous, that's to the point that it was worth a life trial. That guy gets name suppression. If you were a little person in South Auckland and you did something naughty, you think you'd get name suppression. We all know that wouldn't actually happen. But, you know, that's where we're basically at. And so, again, with all these, you know, we've been looking at these attacks that have been occurring, potential sabotage taking place in the United States. There's talk of things like the railways, unions basically closing down railways, port workers basically shutting down ports on the east coast of the United States. So in the event something does happen, it's going to be a triple whammy, FUBAR. And you can Google that to find out what that means, but it basically means it's all messed up. And we are seeing, again, lots of helicopters flying around looking for, like, radioactive material, and lots of talk from things like the people from the Heritage Foundation. Oh, Iran's planning out this attack. And I saw something on Joe Rogan the other day, and this woman, like, crazy lady, I'm going, how in the hell are you interviewing this woman? She is just so unhinged. It's clear, and she's sort of giggling in the middle of it, but she's going, oh, you know, she has special intelligence that Al-Qaeda was going to carry out an attack on behalf of the Iranians and the Russians. And it's like, you know, not one shred of actual evidence to back this up. Not one bit of hardcore, but that's good enough to do hearsay. And the same thing, always, you know, that's what we're getting. Like, and yet we have on the other case, and actually that's not true because the Iranians turned around and said that they shut, you know, found an Israeli actor about to carry out a false attack and they shut it down. That's not quite correct. But we said we do have the case in Ohio where that particular shooter did actually link back to a security firm. This is what we're seeing, these Israeli firms with these people carrying out front organizations. So there are some indications that, yes, when we look at where the monetary trail of that happening so far, is it actually steers towards the Iranian version more than it does to the Heritage Foundation view. And of course, let's not forget the Heritage Foundation were heavily involved in things like the Iran-Contra affair, which again was partnership of Israel and America to basically run an illicit secret foreign policy where the end was never-ending war, which is basically what Julian Assange exposed and did exactly the same thing that was exposed by Allen Ginsberg with the Pentagon Papers. But unfortunately, because of the events of 9/11, which basically was the wet dream that the Project for the New American Century were hoping for, how convenient it happened, but that's, you know, sort of along with the bulletproof passports. But that resulted in the Patriot Act again under the neoliberalism of Obama. So again, that resulted in that this hard-won civil right, which, you know, like this, the key was exposing people in the corporates that are actually causing citizens to die because they are lying to Congress and spending money and causing wars all for their own particular purposes. And that, exposing that, is now a crime. And again, if these guys at Palantir have their way and there is some event that happens in July 4th, we are probably witnessing, we're going to watch if some major event occurs. Guess what, boys and girls? I don't think that democracy in America is going to last that much longer. It's pretty touch and go right now. And that doesn't matter whether you're talking about, gee, which coup would you like? Would you like the Donald Trump army-backed coup? Or would you like the CIA alphabet Democrat USA coup? Because really what you're doing is you're just talking about an internal war of control over the autocracy or the kleptocracy. And in the middle of all this common denominator of all these things is, again, companies like Palantir, which plan to basically use, you know, the whole thing again, far-right Christchurch call. Up until 2018, we had net neutrality. And generally speaking, social media worked as a very good tool at exposing the corporate corruption and exposing war crimes in places like Rwanda and the Congo and Bosnia. Suddenly, 2018, Donald Trump kind of gets initial act again, building, to be fair, on top of what the Democrats have already done. We have ended net neutrality, and suddenly we're all worried about outright crime and all, you know, hate crimes. And yet these are the guys that are getting more traction and could live stream at the protests, whereas the people that were actually independent, that were actually probably closer to Labor and Greens, they could, and I know because I was one of them, couldn't get their message out. And again, we see the situation where following the Jacinda Ardern and the Christchurch shooting, we get the Christchurch call, which is largely funded by organizations from countries like Qatar, Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and the guy from eBay who's heavily involved in the military industrial complex, while those other three countries not only fund terrorism, but have extremely draconian and repressive regimes, which again is something that the journalist Jamal Khashoggi exposed about Saudi Arabia until they turned around and they chopped him up and they buried him somewhere. And his crime was exposed in the fact that concepts like Vision 2030, which is part of the Agenda 2030, which we'll come back to in a second, were not the friendly, clean, hold your hands, kumbaya, diversity, sustainability that we thought they were, but they're actually using it as a tool to entrench the regime of Saudi Arabia, which had a little bit of a jig up around about the time of the shooting in Las Vegas. So if you had to include Saudi Arabia's rejig on their royal family in terms of the food chain there, you've got Syria, Libya, Iran, oh, of course, Iraq, that all been basically had the regime change that the Project for New American Century, which is like the original MAGA, had guaranteed us was going to happen. Well, that's what was what that was the goal. We'll take a little bit of a break, and you're on the Deadline Report with Ben Vigin Investigates.
Oh, I know I'm drunk now. Ladies and gentlemen, I forgot my favorite man sitting over there. His name is
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, 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 Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina,
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, won't you quit? You really make me sick with your fraudulent behavior. You're gonna make me flip and then an army couldn't save you. Why don't you behave, you little rugrat? Take a little tip from the tabloid, because I know I'm not paranoid. When I say I saw you trying to mock me, now you and your crew are on a mission trying to hawk me. But it isn't happening, you fraudulent foes. You used to front big time, now I suppose that everything's cool since the style of apparel you adopted you used to make fun of, but now you wanna rock it. So you gotta kick it with the homies, but DEL is already hip to your cronies. Me and CMP has thought about this, and never have we seen a brother who would hover like Mr. Doubleina.
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina.
You thought you could manipulate, you thought you could fool me. Ooh, ooh, Mr. Doubleina. Teach Wizard put me on a stuff, and then he schooled me. Friends could be fraudulent, just you wait and see. First he was my money grip, then he stole my honey dip. Mr. Doubleina is a serpent, don't you agree? The little two-timer resembles Aunt Jemima, with jeans and a dirty white hoodie. Seems like he wouldn't be a snake, or would he? Disguises come in all sizes and shapes. Notice the facade of the snakes, they all catch the vapes. Even though last year there was GQ, took a lot of time before the DEL could see through the mask. All I had to do was ask the Emperor and Kwame, and my man was thought if they were bomb, eh? Fraudulent foe with the strength of Hercules. The way you're on my dick must really hurt your knees. You need to take heed and quit being such a groupie. Ever since I did a little show in Guadalupe, I never saw a groupie like you. But what is funny is you wanted to be down with my crew. But DEL is not down with any clowns of justice. So I would suggest that you try to impress Uncle Fester Doubleina. Because you don't impress me, Doubleina. The style of dress is not the key, Doubleina. It's all in the mind and the heart, so you should start by remembering you gotta pay a fee, Doubleina.
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina.
Mr. Bob Doubleina.
The song that we just played right then was Bob Bobolina, which is basically about a song about people trying to make up something when they're actually something else between and they're all doing it for monetary purposes. So effectively, what we're looking at is that if July 4th comes around, and this is what Edward Snowden, who also again pointed out, again another person that, you know, had became outlawed for exposing that there was absolute serious corruption going on within the military industrial complex. And he said, I'm not worried about people spying, foreign country spying on America. I'm worried about the 56,000 corporate contractors that are actually making places like the NSA leak like a sieve. And, you know, ultimately at the end of the day is that these guys, you know, get their idea of their digital currency. So, you know, you're going to, after a big shakeup, you're going to have a, just like all the World War One, World War Two, the Napoleonic era, a re-shakeup with basically a more centralized banking system, which will be very much basically, the only way you can get it is by accessing it on your money online, and you've got to have a digital passport. And without it, you're basically a non-person. That's the goal. And I think, again, unless you really got your head in the sand, there's no doubt about it. But the question is, what do we do about it? And it's honestly, I don't know the answer, because unfortunately, the movements that should be opposed to this, say, one government gets in and suddenly they become, dangerous left-wing liberals. And then one other one gets in and says, they're dangerous outright. But the common denominator is actually people saying, we don't like the idea of centralized power. We don't like the idea of being controlled by corporate kleptocrats that basically have taken us all the way back to a new form of Middle Ages, a new era of new feudal rule, whereas instead of dukes and princes, what we've got is corporate executives and presidents. All hail the kleptocracy. This is Ben Vigen on the Deadline Report.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.